With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Juice ain't got 'em crazy.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back, hour number two of the three-hour show. Now that we got the opening act out of the way, Way Back Wednesday can officially begin.
Wow. Not nice.
After the fray, got caught in the fray.
Did you play the Killers?
I did.
Yep.
Somebody said they're from Vegas. Is that not true?
Are they?
Uh-oh.
Am I disqualified?
The Killers are an American rock band formed in Las Vegas.
Formed in Las Vegas. Where are they from?
Oh, that's right. You're right.
There's several members.
I think I have them on mine, don't I?
Uh-oh.
No, because they were formed in there, but I think they played somewhere else. Or one of their...
Get on it, suspects. DQ.
Band members is from somewhere else. If something like that.
So if 1/4 of the fray is from a city, it counts? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Here's the problem. Both you yahoos screwed up, so you'll just vote two against one that... Of course!
That's right. I'm glad you get that. That's exactly how that goes. Origins and formation, that's too many words to read. So,
did Keith text that?
Nice.
All right, so rolling through NBA, we've got some more to get to, and that was the table being set, the steak being served, and all the Rockets had to do was eat heartily and had the 2 seed in the palm of their hand last night. And lo and behold, with about 9 minutes to play and a 15-point lead, they just went, bye-bye.
All right. Number one thing that stood out to me, well, not the number one, but a lot stood out to me during this game.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that puzzled me, though, because it was around the time when their offense went cold, the Rockets' offense went cold, defense let them down, the whole team was stagnant. Why was EG on the bench with 5 minutes left and Austin Rivers was playing? Now, look. It was rectified at about 2.5 minutes left. Rivers goes out. Gordon comes in. I get that. But with 5 minutes to go, your offense has crapped the bed. You can't make a shot. The Thunder are making the comeback to where they're about to take the lead. One of your best three-point shooters since the All-Star break is you've got him on the bench. If you're saving him, for what? Go out and win the 2 seed.
Was D'Antoni coaching?
No.
That's what I was going to say. You beat me to it.
He was out. Why is Eric Gordon on the bench with 5 minutes left in the season? 5 minutes left? He can rest. Trust me. That made no sense to me. They needed his offense. They needed his spark. And don't get me wrong, they also needed some defense from Austin Rivers, but it obviously wasn't working because that was the exact point that the Thunder were making their comeback. Every other starter was on the floor with 5 minutes left except EG. I didn't get that.
Yeah, not a good decision,
probably. The only excuse they have is the fact that their head coach wasn't there.
Well,
and that's on Bezdelic. But other than that, I totally get that. But here's the thing. Before it even got to that point, the fact that, again, and you can go back to coaching with this, but why didn't you pull the reins back a little bit? When you knew OKC was making that final run with about 5 minutes to go, Daniel House is pulling quick threes at the top of the key. Next possession, they race it down the floor, and someone else takes a contested three and a quick contested two, and I'm going, here's one point in the game when you want to make sure you get good shots from your best players, not Daniel House whooping around quickly trying to get around a screen, catch and shoot real quick. The Gerald Green thing was working for a while, but that's exactly what you didn't need during key moments in the game, and that's what they got. Their looks offensively were just awful.
Yeah, I saw what you were talking about regarding Daniel House as well. He still needs some work in terms of decision-making, too, but he's a good player, and the Rockets did the right thing by signing him.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, the opportunity to get a 2 seed would have been huge. I mean, was there and it was huge, but they just didn't capitalize on it in the fourth. But one thing that I've noticed, you know, that seasonal stat pack that they provide before every game, Joel, and it leads up. It basically it's accumulative, so it's basically everything like player lows, fourth quarter low, third quarter low, second, you know. And one thing that I noticed in the fourth quarter was, and this was like two or three weeks ago, up until that point, there was nobody that scored double digits in the fourth quarter outside of Harden. It was basically Chris Paul once. Mm. Everybody else once, twice. And then you look at James Harden, there was like 26 times or 36 times that James Harden had double digits in the fourth quarter. I don't know if that's going to help going into the playoffs. Like they need three players scoring in double digits in the fourth quarter. Mm. I don't know where they're at right now.
Three, though, Nick?
How are you going to win a championship?
Look at average points scored per quarter. It's going to be tough to get a team that's going to get 30-plus. So that you're talking about from three guys, if three guys are in double figures, now you're talking about a team that's going to score 30-plus in a quarter. That's going to be kind of tough.
Yeah, I think that they rely on Harden. I was giving him the stat. There's been nine games where Harden hadn't been the leading scorer on this team. He's your guy. I mean, he's the go-to. You don't mind if Chris Paul runs the offense, but at the end of the day, if they're going to look for someone to score the basketball, it's going to either have to come from Harden or be an assist from Harden, yes, and getting his other guys involved.
Or
now,
Paul.
But how many times is it that where late in the game, like even last night, Daniel House didn't knock down his shots? He got shots.
Yeah.
He got a look. You got to knock those down. So I think sometimes it's the fact that those shots are there for those guys. The Gerald Greens go cold. The P.J. Tuckers, he hasn't been the same this year that he normally is. And Daniel House, too, missing some shots. If they get the open looks. I mean, hell, Harden could have won this game. That was an open look with 1.8 left.
Yeah.
He was wide open, and he just missed the shot. And, by the way, horrible time to miss your first free throw. If he makes that last free throw, instead of losing, they go to overtime. So you put two things on Harden alone that cost them this game.
But here's a couple things. One, it's really difficult, especially for a young player and Daniel House having to try and get reacclimated. It's tough to come to a team where in most cases, in most systems with most teams, they're going to say, don't take that shot. That's not your shot. Don't take that shot. In Houston, every time he's behind the line, they're telling him, you take that shot. You don't even think about it. You take that shot.
I don't think that's the case now, though. Do you?
I certainly do.
Oh,
I think when they're moving the ball now, in crunch time.
I could say with Shumpert because he's so new, but Daniel House has been around the organization the
Gerald
whole time.
Green, and one of them went in, and I was like, oh my God, it was just an awful, awful shot. Someone swung him the ball, and before he could even get two hands on it, he was going up, and it was like on a clothesline, and it went in, and I'm like, but that's the coaching staff saying, three is better than two. That's their philosophy. They want they're in your ear going, you shoot that shot.
To your point, there was a time in the game where Austin Rivers had a layup and he circled back out. Yep. He pulled it back out to look for a 3-point shot instead because it might have been a contested layup. So I don't think that Daniel House is hesitant about pulling the trigger.
No, he's not, but that's a problem because you're right. It's one thing in the flow of a game in the second quarter, third quarter, but in crunch time or when you know a team's making a run,
I see what you're saying.
Don't do it, but it's hard because as a young player, you're like, well, they're telling me I should shoot these shots.
Yeah. There's at least two or three players in the fourth quarter.
But I don't think they would change their philosophy with that. I agree with you that maybe they should. They just don't.
It's kind of hard to pull back to when you tell them to shoot, though.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I think, your philosophy in the last 3 to 5 minutes has to change as opposed to the first 42 to 45. You know, like you have to change that philosophy a little bit. We're like, you might be open, but let's see if there's a better option with under 5 minutes to go. But you don't want to change who you are. I mean, it got you this far. You might as well keep doing it.
You're spot on Tucker because he has not shot the ball like he has in the past. All right. And sometimes with all the scraps and the toughness things, he got into it with a couple people last night, mainly their two best players. It fired their best players up. It didn't do anything to help the Rockets with P.J. Tucker.
No.
And then the other thing to your point is D'Antoni's got this thing set up, right, for Harden. So he goes off with this massive first half. They're okay when he has a first half like that with him taking, I don't want to say take time off, but just kind of easing off the gas pedal in the third quarter so that he's got something in the tank for the fourth. He eased up in the third, but then he didn't see it enough and he didn't do enough in the fourth when they needed him the most.
The dust up between PJ and George was pretty funny. When PJ, they had previous trip down the floor, there was some
the chicken wing.
And then you come back down the court, PJ gets to the strip. He goes after the loose ball. George ends up on top of him. PJ jumps up. Paul George wanted no part of that. You could see that he waited until there were five people between him and PJ Tucker before he lunged at him. He wanted no part of that smoke.
He pulled the Kevin Garnett. Just wait till guys hold me back and then look
tough. I laughed so hard It was like, bro, you should have just walked away like Tucker did because you look so fake tough right now.
Here's the difference between those two guys. Westbrook wanted every bit of it.
Absolutely.
He got the chicken. He got the chicken wing early and was like, not only am I not playing that, but he took the shot the next time down.
If they were allowed, Westbrook would have absolutely fought P.J. Tucker. If this was hockey, he would have absolutely threw the gloves down to pull Tucker's jersey over his head. Paul George would have just skated off.
Here's the thing, fellas.
No, I don't believe that for a second.
All that stuff we're talking about and what I saw last night, I saw, and this amazes me, but I saw an OKC team, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that wants Houston. I think they look at them, and not that they feel like they can punk them or that they can bully them, but they looked at the Rockets last night, and I saw the way they looked at them and the way the interviews after the game. I felt like OKC wants Houston.
That could be. I don't know. I mean, I didn't pick up on that.
But I felt like they want them.
And
like,
look, if Harden knocks down that shot, careful what you wish for.
And you and I were talking about
this, though. Make that
free
throw, careful what you wish for.
We were talking about the fact that, look, this is the second time OKC came back to get them like this.
Yeah.
So that's something that builds confidence with their team. But I'm with you. The biggest concern I have from a Rocket standpoint is, here we go again, blowing big leads in games. They just, to me, it bothers me that they don't put away teams that they get down by big double digits.
I have more notes, so we'll do that.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah.
And Antoine wants to get in here. So, Antoine, don't go anywhere. We'll get you in here after the break. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 975. Do anything with no resistance, cause I can lead a nation with a microphone, with a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule. You know who it is.
This is Kareem Jackson and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room staring at candles. Cool out, man. We on the radio, Joe? Yeah. Oh, alright.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Rolling along on a way back Wednesday with The Usual Suspects.
You guys.
Appreciate y'all being suspects as you normally do. Catching us Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 right here on ESPN 97.5.
One point I wanted to make about the game, and then we can move on if y'all want to, but I really felt like, you know, we've talked a little bit about how D'Antoni's been out. It looks like he was released from the hospital. Yep. He had intestine issues or stomach flu or whatever I read, but he should be back now for the playoffs. But I think they really missed him last night, and it showed for a couple of different reasons, and I'll give those to you. One, when OKC finally got the lead back, they went up by one after having a run, crowds going crazy. Harden's bringing the ball up. You can see Jeff Bezdelic on the sidelines pointing across the half-court line, come to this point, call a timeout. Like, he's wanting Harden to come call a timeout. Harden ignores it. Middle of the court, he runs up and gets ready to run an offensive set. In fact, he makes a pass as if they're getting into the offense. Jeff Bezdelic calls the timeout, and Harden visibly is disgusted by it. He does not want a timeout. Mike D'Antoni does not call a timeout usually in those moments. He lets the guys play through it. I think Mike D'Antoni is not worried about the crowd noise because he knows guys like Tucker and Paul and Harden aren't going to be rattled because the team just went up by one and the crowd's going crazy. They're professionals. That's not D'Antoni's style to call a timeout right there. If they play bad defense, you'll see D'Antoni get pissed and call a timeout.
My only theory with that is, if you know anything about Bezdelic and the way he communicates to people, good guy. But he's a bit aggressive and dominating when he talks.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was a...
He was just showing him, hey, I'm coach tonight.
I'm calling the timeout whether you like it or not. But I don't know where Joel, because I know Joel might have a different opinion on it.
But it flies in the face of the way they run their offense. Because a lot of times what will happen is, I think it was counterproductive, because when you come down and you go, if you go down by one and the other team's going crazy and the crowd's going crazy and everybody's pumped and Harden hits a step back three, everything shuts down. It's like, damn. Well, we were up, but now everything settles back down and levels out. If you call a timeout, they're still up. So that energy is still there. Even though the timeout, yeah, buys you some time, the crowd is hyped back up again. You don't get that immediate chance to shut it down. And I think that's why the Rockets play through that a lot of times, especially with D'Antoni. But James Harden was not happy with Jeff Bezdelic doing that.
Your sneeze sounded like a fart, by the way, Joel.
Thank you.
Well, did you hear it?
I didn't hear
it. At least I hit my cough button and tried to hide it, but I had to sneeze. Here's the other thing. The other thing where it was blatantly noticeable that they missed D'Antoni.
I feel like we're going to have the same one here.
The last play of the game, they go to run a set, and Bezdelic took the entire timeout to run a play. It got blown up, and OKC, or it looked like it was going to get blown up, and before the play started, OKC called timeout because they wanted to see what they were going to run. They go back to the huddle. Bezdelic's trying to get everybody in. He's trying to drop another play. He's trying to change it. James wasn't having any bit of it. He was looking another way. And Bezdelic just basically, he started to come almost comedically laugh. He was like, I mean, and yet they got a great shot off, but all it was James threw a shot to the chops of Paul George, created space, and got a look. But he wasn't going to listen to Bezdelic. So it was a carryover of what you're talking about in the play that you were referencing.
But here's why I think that, too, because you're right. That happened. And then you had PJ Tucker wide open, by the way. Eric Gordon completely. That's the ball game. That's the ball game.
Wide open.
Think about this. The Rockets, as much as we're killing them for losing to the Thunder, had three different opportunities to either win this or send it to overtime. If James Harden makes his free throw, overtime. If he hits that three, they win. If Eric Gordon finds PJ Tucker into the basket, that's ball game. It's over. He has enough time to put that up.
And he was
three different blown
open
opportunities. Yeah. But I think what happened with that in the huddle is about a minute and 30 left is when I was like, boy, Rockets really miss Mike D'Antoni right now. 106-104. There was a really bad offensive set where they were coming out of the play, and it was right after the bad foul on Harden, the chicken wing where he had what's his name pinned up under him. It's side out.
Schroeder.
Yeah, it's side out, and there was a timeout, and instead of running a good play, it was a lot of standing around, and then a last-second pass to Harden, and he jacks up a shot that didn't fall. And to me, that doesn't happen all the time when you have Mike D'Antoni there to call a play out of the timeout. So I feel like that's where he was missed the most, was in cases of drawing up plays and encouraging the offense to move quick and keep playing. A lot of that you didn't see last night. Jeff Bezdelic is an old school guy, and old school coaches call timeouts when a run starts or when you're in the midst of the other team's in the midst of a run. So they missed it. They missed it.
But he's no doubt about it, because he's also the guy that they'll listen to in the huddle. You see it. He will cuss at his players. If you're trying to blow him off in a huddle, he'll say,
not going
to
have it.
No, get your effing eyes in this huddle. And that's what they missed, because and you're right, boy, I was screaming at the TV at the time. And here's the other thing. They ran the second play when they just gave it to Harden.
Mm-hmm.
The motion, the action, quote unquote, that they call it around, Tucker was open again and they refused to throw it. Twice he was open right under the basket because OKC was spending so much time worrying about James.
This perimeter. Yep. Yeah.
Let's get Anton in here before we get to break. He still wants to talk Rockets. Anton, thanks for waiting, and come on in.
How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
All right, Bear, good win last night, Thunder. So I told you guys yesterday that these, I don't know what it is about the Rockets, but for some reason, OKC just gets up for them. And I want to play with the Rockets because, you know, the playoffs, like you say, the playoffs is a whole another ball game, but I don't believe the Rockets going to change who they are. So what you see right now is what you're going to see in the playoffs, and I would rather face that than, you know, facing Denver or whoever. And the referee was horrible last night, especially in the last 2 minutes when you got PJ Tucker tripping Paul George, you got, like you said, Harden with the chicken wing, and then at the end, that was blatant offensive foul, man. He gave him a complete stiff arm that you didn't call it, and he almost, you know, won the game for him. And I didn't appreciate that. You know, I don't like the way the game was refereed from the beginning to the end. You know, but like I say, I would rather play them over playing them because it's just something about the Rockets that OKC gets up for. So that's all I have to say.
Go ahead, same point he made yesterday. I mean, well, I don't know what else to say.
Well, Anton, I don't know that I would blame a win on the referees. That sounds like bad logic, and for that reason, I'm out. No, your team won, first of all. And second of all, I thought the officiating at times was bad, but it's been like that all year. It's been wildly inconsistent all year. There were bad calls on both ends. Mm-hmm. The calls weren't made. Harden got knocked down on a three-pointer that he made and it wasn't a Harden flop. His feet got hit, which caused him to fall. That's a foul. Didn't happen. Give that point to the team, and it's a tie ball game at the end of the game. There's a lot of plays that get missed. There's a lot of fouls.
He's a huge Rockets fan, this guy.
And I would
say... He's a Thunder fan.
I know. But be careful what you wish for, because every time that the Rockets have lost a game like this, they've shot themselves in the foot. It hasn't been because they've just been beaten. They shot themselves in the foot. Now, I will give, you got to give credit to Paul George. PJ Tucker got a hand in his face. Knocked down the shot. That's great. But again, we gave you three instances where the Rockets could have won this game or moved it into overtime on their own fault. Like PJ Tucker wide open. That's the Rockets' fault.
Yeah.
And he and Gordon after the play were talking about it, and Gordon was like,
yeah, no,
I didn't
want
to take that
right
chance.
There.
It's not a chance if you're 3-4 feet in front of your guy with a chance to get a layup.
That's right.
On the Harden play he's bitching about, the fact of the matter was, if he extends his arm, it's an offensive foul. But if he keeps his arm tight, they're not going to call that with 3 seconds or less in the game.
That's funny coming from Eric Gordon, because I would actually describe him as one of two or three players on this roster that's kind of trigger happy in terms of shooting.
I put Gerald Green. He had to pass that ball.
Exactly. But knowing that you have that nature, why would you not want to take that chance?
Yeah, Eric Gordon's not a guy that ever hesitates. If he's open, he shoots it. If there's something, he makes the play. He doesn't overthink it like some guys will. So you're right. And that moment, he went against his character and overthought it. And
To his third point, I'm going to just ask you guys an NFL question. If you got a defensive back and a receiver that are going deep for a ball and they get their feet tangled up, who's the penalty on?
Yeah, let them play.
Neither one. That's why they didn't call that.
I totally agree with that not being a call.
Yeah, I was with it too. I did think for a second that at OKC with that kind
that
of
they would get
that
the call.
They would blow the whistle.
You would think, especially being on the road. There was one other point I wanted to make too. Damn it, I forgot. Oh, well. Sorry.
Well, I cut you off. My bad.
No. It's all good. I forgot what I was going to say.
The bottom line is you make a valid point. They had plenty of opportunities. With all that being said, they still had plenty of opportunities to win. The biggest thing is they've got some things they got to shore up a little bit going into the playoffs. And because of the fact that we all can see that it's still the offense centered around James Harden, come playoff time, they might want to put a wrinkle or two in to do some things different.
Yeah, I think it's a much different ballgame if Mike D'Antoni is on the sidelines as well. Hey, I have a theory about the Denver Nuggets. Can we discuss that next segment? Sure. I think the Denver Nuggets are sabotaging the West.
All right.
Let's discuss.
Let's get that and more coming up on the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, that was painful. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. The big
was
show.
Painful.
You're dancing on the audio stream.
The song, period, is terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
4683 on the text line.
Is an idiot.
2:19 p.m. Killing it with the music picks. Thank you. This is my hour.
Well, that was delayed. He meant the first hour.
Nope.
He just sent the text in 20 minutes too late.
I don't think so.
This isn't all for one. It's all for Barry.
By the way, don't ever come in this control room again. You're not allowed to fart and leave and do the exact same thing you crop-dusted him? The exact same thing he gets mad at you for, Joel, he just did in this control room.
Totally did it.
Wow.
I was like, what's up, dude? How's
coffee
it going?
Got you, huh?
Cool. All right. And then I left, and then I came in and I went, by the way, I farted in the room and left. So that's all you.
Did you get a solid whiff of it?
Does it smell like a dead body?
No.
No? Well, that's good.
I'm not going to give you
props.
Any pleasure.
Even though your nose hairs are singed, you're not going to give him props?
Nope.
No. Okay. All right, here's my theory. You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
I think that the Nuggets are doing a disservice to the entire Western Conference by resting their players.
Okay.
With three games to go, they have basically they've shut down Jokic. Like he played 17 minutes that second game against the Blazers. He's not playing much anymore. He had 2 points last night. And in those last two games that they've done this, that they've limited the minutes of their starters, they've lost both games. Now, let's run through some scenarios with the Nuggets and how that could affect the West. Because you look at it and think, it may not necessarily affect the West, right? Like, it's not that big of a deal. If they play and beat the Jazz, and then the Jazz end up losing to the Clippers, and the Thunder did beat the Rockets, if the Thunder go on and beat the Bucks, the Thunder would get the 5 seed and home court advantage over the Jazz. If it all starts with the Nuggets actually playing their players and playing these games like they matter and beating the Jazz, which they were fully capable of doing. But they chose not to do that. They could literally have cost the Thunder the 5 seed and home court advantage against the Jazz in the playoffs by resting. A second point, they also didn't play their guys against the Blazers in the second game, and the Blazers won. If the Blazers beat the Kings, they get the 3 seed and the Rockets get the 4 seed because they were basically gifted that game by the Nuggets. And now the Rockets end up having to face the Warriors in round 2 if they get that far.
So I was going to say, because when I was looking at all this, because I don't disagree with you, and I said to you guys, I was looking forward to 2 really good late season games, the 2 straight matchups with the Denver Nuggets and the Blazers. But then I see the box score. It was a close game, and I hadn't really looked at it. And then I see the box score online, and I go, oh, wait a minute. He's resting Millsap, Murray, and his big man.
Yep.
And I'm going, what are you doing?
You're here's playing my playoff
thing. I could see Daryl doing something like this if the end result was it sets us up for the best path to get through the Western Conference. Either we got to go through the Warriors, but it wouldn't be till the Western Conference Finals, and we would have easy matchups. Or, you know, this scenario, or so-and-so, this team or the Warriors would have had to play several different teams. But
if you're the 5 seed and you fall to the 6 seed, then you don't have to see the Warriors until the finals if you make it that far. And so you could maybe
take the 2.
You're 2.
Or the 3.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, as the 2, you wouldn't face the Warriors to the Western Conference Finals anyway. So what are you doing?
So there's no excuse to defend it?
Well, maybe that's their thought. No, maybe that's their thought is like, well, it doesn't affect us if we're the 2 or the 3 seed. But the problem is, that's true, but in the nature of
sportsmanship.
Yeah. You're screwing other teams out of home court. You're screwing other teams out of seeding by not playing players and basically gifting wins to other playoff teams. If the Nuggets were playing, you know, Memphis and the Suns and the Mavericks down the stretch and they want to rest their guys, okay, because you're not affecting the seeding of any of those 3 teams. But you are playing the Jazz. You are playing the Blazers. And you're gifting them wins. You're costing other teams potentially, as tight as the West is, you are potentially costing other teams not only seeding and more difficult paths to a championship, but home court. That's a big deal, man.
I just didn't get the potential of giving up the 2, right? Because a Cinderella story for Denver was finishing the year in the 2 seed. For all intents and purposes, they gave a handoff at the goal line to the Rockets and said, here's the 2. They just fumbled going in. And I was amazed by that.
Yeah, I wonder, though, if their thought process is bracketing. And like, okay, you know that 2-3 is probably going to play each other. So whether they're the 2 and we're the 3 or we're the 3 and they're the 2,
but
one game at home court.
Think about that, though, too. I hear what you're saying, but everybody talks about
guys.
The altitude is such a big deal.
No, you're
home court
right.
In a series like that would be such a big deal to just give that away because you want to make sure that you get a little more extra rest for your players. I think that's stupid.
Yeah, well, I'm curious is how bad is Jokic? Now I'm combining them. Jokic's minutes per game and how much he's played. As opposed
to
everybody
else.
Or
we don't know about.
Or he's banged up and needs
the
rest.
That's what I was going to say. Like maybe he's not completely banged up.
That doesn't exclude.
There's two other players.
Yeah, not playing all of them.
Right.
Or resting all of them.
Right.
Load management when you're facing 3 playoff teams, not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool at all. And I think it has I know that the Rockets still had their destiny in their own hands. But now that you've gifted the Blazers a win, Blazers go out and handle their business because the Rockets don't have any games left. If the Blazers win tonight, they're the 3 seed.
Yeah. This is what I don't like, because I'll tell you
guys.
Guess
who they're playing? The Kings.
It's over.
You gave the Blazers a free win by resting your guys. And, you know, the Rockets, again, didn't handle their business. They should have won that game last night. But still, you're giving out dubs. You're just
I've lived this for way too long,
dubs.
Fellas.
I don't
like
it.
I've lived it for way too long. I've seen it on the last game or the last two with a night to go or 2 nights to go in the regular season. I've seen it go against the Rockets so many ways where they just either they fumbled or something. The only time they didn't do it, if you guys remember, there was a massive rainstorm. They wouldn't let the people leave the Toyota Center because the roads were bad.
Game.
Dwight Howard got stranded. Les Alexander got stranded. We all had to sit there and wait. And it all fell into place, and the Rockets won the division. The Spurs lost the game to the Pelicans they were supposed to win. And you know what happened? The Rockets got all the way to the Western Conference Finals. They made one hell of a run. But it helps when the scenarios that you want to have happen come through for you. More times than not for the Rockets, the exact opposite has happened.
Today at the barbershop, J-Ro brought up an interesting point. Remember there was one time when the Rockets were in the playoffs that on the last game of the season, they could end up anywhere between the 2 and the 6 seed, depending on how everybody's game
year.
Shaped up. Yeah. Like you could have fallen as you could be the second best team in the West or the 6th.
We won that game that night, we were going to be in the 6th seed, and San Antonio tripped up, lost to the Pelicans, and they were the 2.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
I mean, it's one of those deals, but we've seen this too many times. That's why I feel for Houston sports fans, because watching that game last night early in the fourth quarter, you're like, oh my God, it's perfect. The Rockets are going to end up, who'd have thought, you and I talked about it, who'd have thought the Rockets are going to end up the 2 seed?
Told you.
They're going to be in the driver's seat. Everything's so setting up for them perfectly. And at the present time, they have a 15-point lead. It's over. I almost went to bed. And then I'm looking at it, and I'm going, oh, my God. And then I wanted to go to bed after they blew it. And I look on the internet, and I go, oh, wait a minute. The Lakers are actually hanging with the Blazers. They were up 2.
Yeah.
And I watched the end of that game, and then I saw Mo Harkless hit a shot at the buzzer.
Yep.
After some Robinson Caruso gave the ball to the Blazers when the Lakers had the chance at the final shot. And I'm like, it's so Houston.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is if the Nuggets lose tonight and the Blazers win tonight, now you're really talking about it interesting because all three of those teams, Nuggets, Rockets, Blazers, end their season with a 53-29 record. So now you got a 3-team tiebreaker because you would assume, well, if the Nuggets lose, then the Rockets get the 2 seed. Well, not really. What is the tiebreak between the Nuggets, and the Blazers, the Rockets and the Blazers? We know the Rockets lose the tiebreak with the Blazers.
Right.
So,
but I think they win it with the Nuggets.
The Rockets or the Blazers?
The Rockets.
No, I know the Rockets do. They swept Denver this year. So, but the question then becomes, okay, what is Portland's tiebreak with the Nuggets?
It's head-to-head.
You got to look at but it's a 3-team. It's a lot different. I think they look at tiebreakers
head-to-head, and then they go conference record.
Not with 3. With 2, they do.
No, with right. With what I'm saying is conference
record. If the Nuggets lose and the Blazers win, it's a three-way tie for second place.
So then you look at conference record. Each team's record within conference.
Okay. This could absolutely happen, by the way. If the Nuggets are resting people, they absolutely...
Will they play tonight?
They play the Timberwolves. If the Nuggets are resting people, they absolutely could lose tonight.
Well, you don't rest your big man against Karl-Anthony Towns if you want to win.
And Portland is playing the Kings. This could absolutely end in a three-way tie. And the Rockets have no say in it now. And again, thank Denver.
Thank yourself.
I will, thank you.
No, thank the... If you're the Rockets, thank yourself for blowing a game you should have won.
Yeah, that too.
Stranger
that doesn't fit into my theory, though.
I could see Sacramento giving the Blazers a game tonight. They're young. They don't care. They're going to play fast. They got guys that want to finish the season on the right note. De'Aaron Fox and Bagley. I could see those guys giving them a game.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll see what happens.
That's a lot of basketball for today.
It is.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, I did too.
Let's talk Astros.
Sorry, AJ. We'll change the topic.
Nah, it's relevant right now. We're good.
Okay.
I liked it. I really did.
Let's talk Astros, though.
Yeah, let's move on.
We got plenty to talk about with the Astros, including a key injury we didn't expect. It right knee deep in the middle of a big rally again for the Astros with another big win. We've got that to talk about and much more. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I am still living with your ghost.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Deep in hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us out and on the go. Riley, the Thunder fan, has tweeted us what we've also been told by our intern.
Yeah.
Both Lillard and McCollum ruled out tonight against Sacramento, so there's more of a chance than what I was kiddingly saying. I've seen stranger things happen in Sacramento beating the Blazers.
Well, it does make it interesting because the Blazers... So here's the scenario, right? There's two different things that could happen if you're a Rockets fan. Denver loses, you get the 2 seed. But if Denver wins and Portland wins, it's a three-way tie for second. Then you go to the tiebreak. Tiebreak is division record first. So both Denver and Portland would be tied. That would eliminate the Blazers. Denver have the tiebreak over the Blazers. So in a three-way tie, Portland is going to get the four seed. If they lose, they're going to get the four seed. So by resting McCollum, and there's no incentive for them to win tonight, is what that means. Like, there's no incentive, especially if Denver wins. There's now they would maybe get to jump over the Rockets, I guess, on a head-to-head matchup for the three seed. But then with Denver, if there was a three-way tie, the Rockets would get the number two seed, and then it would be Denver and then Portland. So I think from Denver's standpoint, they're like, we're probably the four seed anyways. Let's rest our guys, get them an extra day.
You mean Portland?
That's what I'm saying. Portland's probably...
You said Denver. Here's the other thing. Matchups are important then.
Yeah.
Because then you look at, if you're not going to worry about just the Warriors, and you're going to say, who gives us the best chance to get through the first round?
Yep.
And if that, if there's a legitimate, like you were just saying,
what?
Some teams have your number, some teams you have theirs. If there's a team that you match up really, really well with, then tonight's the night that you do what you got to do so that you get there.
Yeah. So Jazz are the five seed.
No matter what.
We know that, yeah. And then the Thunder are at least the sixth seed. If they lose and the Spurs, I mean, there's still some.
They're in Milwaukee on a back-to-back.
The Thunder?
Yeah. But the rumor is, and again, I haven't seen confirmation, Milwaukee's probably going to sit everybody.
And the Spurs have the Mavericks, so the Spurs probably win.
Probably. Again, but Pop's one of those guys that looks at the matchups and goes, do we want Golden State or do we want someone Denver, where we get a chance to beat? Yeah, I think Pop would salivate to get Denver.
Well, then you want to win tonight.
Okay.
Because, you know, then you have the Clippers also who have the Jazz. So you can certainly lock up, you know, the seventh
seed. Can the Clippers still move?
Right now the Clippers, so then again, we go to the three-way tie. Clippers, Spurs, Thunder could all be tied for the sixth seed. And then again, you go back to it. The first thing it goes to is division winners. So between we know the Spurs aren't a division winner. Clippers aren't a division winner. And what I say, the Thunder?
Yeah.
So none of those are the division winner, and then you start going into conference records and all the other tiebreakers.
Because I looked at it last night, and I love the graphic that they put up. Would they put each team up and put where they could possibly finish? Like for the Rockets, you had 2, 3, and 4. I was amazed when Oklahoma City, even with a win, could go anywhere from
5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Yep.
That was crazy.
Yeah, but the Jazz won, so you can't get the five seed now. Out. So they're 6 through 8, and then the second. So division winner is the ultimate tiebreaker when there's more than two teams tied. Mm-hmm. The second criteria is better winning percentage in all games among the tied teams. So then we would have to go back and break that down.
They took the conference out of it.
Yeah, the conference comes in as the fourth tiebreak. Oh. So it goes better winning percentage amongst all games among the teams, better winning percentage against teams in their own division, and then better winning percentage against teams in their own conference.
Interesting.
That becomes the
because when you look
criteria.
At it, look, if you're a Rockets fan, what you're hoping for more than anything else is Golden State gets Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Russ hates KD. He wants that. It's going to get, the fan base, when we talk about a great home court advantage and what we saw last night, it's going to be times 100 if it's the Warriors.
Yep. Yeah. If the Spurs and Clippers have to win, because if the Thunder win, they lock in the sixth seed. But if they lose and have 34 losses, and the Spurs or Clippers lose, then the Thunder still get the sixth seed. So there's still some jockeying to be done.
It's going to be fun tonight because then you got to be watching the fact that that Milwaukee game's going to be early.
Yep.
I think it's a 7 start. Then you're thinking 7:30, San Antonio and Dallas. But there are going to be plenty of things to watch tonight. A lot of things shake out. And the NBA loves this because most of the time down the stretch, you don't get games that matter like this, like last night, and then, you know, scenarios that matter tonight. It's great when they have to play it out to the 82nd game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you watched the Astros game last
night? I did.
How worried are you about Bregman?
Scale
of 1 to 10.
He didn't limp. He just pulled up. He walked off without limping. It seemed to me that he had probably given someone a heads up. They're saying it's a mild hamstring strain. He's going to sit out tonight, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be like a couple of weeks, which is a good thing.
Yeah, Richard Justice reported he's day-to-day with a mild hamstring. So you might see him rest today and, you know, get an off day in and get a couple more days. You might miss the first game of the next series as they go on the road.
Seattle.
So I think they have a travel day, if I'm not mistaken.
Because they can skip the fifth starter for a while.
Right. You rest today, you get the travel day. You might sit out the first game in Seattle, depending on the weather. Could be a little chilly. I don't think he shouldn't hit the IL. He certainly should not hit the IL. So other than that, though, man, last night, look, that was a fun ass game, man. It's been a couple of fun games.
I love what this team is doing late in games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally, and look, it's not just the Astros. Any team that's facing the bullpens with the caliber of pitchers that Oakland and the Yankees have, you're like, hey, man, if you're behind by a run or two, or you're in a dogfight game late, it's going to be hard to win. But the fact that they've continued this winning streak is one thing. But the way they've done it, late in games with big hits. We were just talking about big hits and pressure situations. And Springer, the free swinger, boy, great at bat and laces that ball down the line and breaks it open. I just love the fact that they've bounced back from a slow start when we told everybody to just pad the brakes. It was a bad start to the season, but the season wasn't decided early in April. They've bounced back really well.
The big thing for me is, remember when they went out and got Roberto Osuna,
mm-hmm.
and we had our own thoughts on this, and it was a disaster for them from a PR perspective, and everybody was like, oh yeah, it makes sense as a baseball move. Do you realize the impact that this kid has had on this organization? And you couldn't trust Ken Giles, you couldn't trust anybody else. Harris was a closer for a while. Giles, it was almost a bullpen by committee, a closer by committee situation at one point for a team that was on the cusp of a World Series. Yeah. So now you've got a legitimate closer, and the other stuff has died down. And when you were talking, I was looking at how many games he's played. He gave up five earned runs all of last year in close to 24 games. 22 and two-thirds innings pitched, and he gave up five earned runs. And then you look at what he's done this year. One earned run in his what? One, two, three,
Ken Giles has done that in one non-save situation.
He got saved last night for the Blue Jays.
Okay, but he's also gave up a five spot a few times.
So you've got – add five more games this year to the 24. That's almost 30 games he's given up, six earned run in 30 games. And he's pitching about an inning a game.
And he's not
just crazy. The thing
that's amazing
dude.
To me,
it's
is
automatic.
He's not overpowering people either, right?
Nope.
The double leg kick is fantastic to take a guy out of
wrinkle.
Yeah. He's got so many different things that he brings to the table that are just idiosyncrasies of the art of pitching that you love what he's been able to do. And look, we all said when it happened, Jeff Luhnow better have his T's crossed, his I's dotted, have all of his due diligence. Better be spot on. And so far, it's worked out really well for them. And how about Ryan Pressly?
Boy, that was money well
spent. People looked
too
at that move going, yeah, that's not going to be the deal they wanted for a closer. Well, he didn't have to be, and that's not what he was thinking. He was thinking all along, that's my setup guy, and boy, has he been, because there's another guy that has lived up to billing and has been worth every penny.
Yeah, they still have some work to do, though, in the division. Mariners are still winning. Won again last night, 11-2 record now.
11-2.
Yep.
Angels taking a loss just like the Astros. They win the game just like the Astros. They lose Mike Trout day-to-day with a groin injury. That may affect the Astros on the road this next year.
Two MVP candidates.
Yeah.
Out with,
both coming up injuries day to day.
Out with injuries, so.
And both teams still winning.
You know, AJ hate to hear that.
Yeah. He hates either one. He hates the fact that Bregman could be top five in MVP ballot.
That's what I'm saying. He hates to hear two MVP candidates.
And he hates that his
Bregman.
Guy Trout is hurt.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yep. All right, two in the books. Got an hour still to go of the big show. So if you want to join us, we got room for you. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.